Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. Namaste and blessings. Welcome to another meditative living. This is Swami Sivananda Giri bringing you the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, who was the guru of Baba Swami Muktananda, who was the guru of this Swami's guru, His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who, by the way, has just released the first book written by himself and Swami Anantananda Giri, who will be joining us here on Meditative Living next week. So mark that on the calendar. Friday the 31st, the writer of the commentary on the authoritative Guru Gita will be right here on Meditative Living, Swami Anantananda Giri. 31st of July, next Friday, at this time, in this place. As we continue with the Chittakasha Gita, we go on with verse number 210. Nityananda said, Puraka is drawing the breath up. Kumbhaka is retaining the breath. Rechaka is the exhaling of breath slowly from within. Many sorts of cakes are prepared from the same rice. So also, by breath, everything is accomplished. The functions are different. What is called pranayama is all internal working. The same is Shiva Shakti is man. When this Shakti is guided to Brahmarandra, it is communion with Godhead. The commentary by Acharya Kedar. In pranayama, which by the way means breath exercise or breath control, Puraka is drawing the breath up, filling the lungs. Kumbhaka is retaining the breath, holding it. Richaka is slowly exhaling the breath from within. Just as many kinds of cakes are prepared from the same rice, so also from the one prana. Prana refers to the energy brought in during breathing. Everything is accomplished by that prana. When prana is controlled and led to the Sahasrara, or the crown chakra within the brain, the entire universe will be within one's self, with a big S. Such a man will be the all, and all will be he. What is called pranayama is all internal work. Shiva Shakti in man is developed by pranayama. When Shiva Shakti, the power of Shiva, in man is led to the Brahmarandra in the head, the cavity at the top end of the Sushumna canal, which runs from the base of the spine up to the Brahmarandra. A man attains communion with the Godhead. Such a man will attain the supreme bliss. Verse 211. Nityananda said, Shiva Shakti is one, indivisible. Shiva Shakti is salvation. Shiva Shakti is the upward breath. Shiva Shakti is pranavayu. It is the omkar. It is the pranava. From pranava is creation. Pranava is consciousness of the body. Omkar is soul consciousness. Omkar is like the kernel in a dry coconut. The finite becomes one with the infinite. Quote, river becomes one with the sea. The mental moods are the rivers. The indivisible Shiva Shakti is the sea. Just as paper, when burnt in fire, loses its individuality, the mind loses its individuality in the Atman. Five or six roads may have only one junction. We may travel by these roads either by walking or by train. The body is the train by which we come and go. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Shiva Shakti is the one, indivisible. Shiva Shakti is salvation. Shiva Shakti is also the upward breath. Shiva Shakti is the pranavayu. Shiva Shakti is the omkar, that which produces the om. It is the pranava. Pranava refers to, can't really call it a space because it's outside of space and time. But the point, let's use that word, the bindu, where nothing is yet created. Everything that was, is, or could be created is simply resting in potential. Nothing has yet arisen. Pranava is the active energy of Omkar. Omkar is that supreme energy which is at perfect inaction. What is pranava is consciousness of the body. Omkar is the consciousness of the soul. Omkar, like the kernel of a dry coconut, is unattached to anything. Omkar transcends all. Just as the finite becomes one with the infinite, the river becomes one with the sea. The mental moods, which are compared to the rivers, become one with Shiva Shakti, which is compared to the sea. When Atman, or soul, is realized, the mind becomes merged in the Atman. The mind then loses its individuality and becomes one with the Atman. A paper burnt in fire becomes one with that fire. Like the paper burnt in fire, manas, or mind, and Atman become one when Atman is attained. Five or six roads could have only one junction. We may travel by these roads either by walking or by train. The body is the train by which men come and go. Men are born with a body. When the body falls off, men leave this world. The body is like a train for the soul, for its brief sojourn in this world. Verse 212. Nityananda said, firm posture of the body is like the train station. The posture should be an easy posture. This is Raja Yoga, or royal union. What is asana is seat. Asana, in this case, refers to not the stretches and twists and turns of physical yoga, but the point at which the individual rests. Acharya Kedar's commentary. When practicing, excuse me. When practicing, firm posture of the body is essential. The body must be firm, like a railway station, which is at a standstill. The trains move, but not the station. The body must be in a perfectly steady position when practicing pranayama. In Raja Yoga, the posture prescribed is the easy one. The seat of one's being is called the asana. Verse 213. Nityananda said, samadhi means controlling one's energy. Samadhi is the upward breath. The upward breath is what is called Taraka Brahma. When the upward breath has become perfect, the whole world is within you. This upward breath is the same in all creatures. A Raja Yogi is one who has realized the one indivisible. He is one with God when he is talking or sitting or walking. Raja Yoga is like sitting in an upper story and looking all around below. Raja Yoga is so called because it is the king of all yogas. When our intellect becomes one with God, the same is known as Raja Yoga. It is all peace. It is formless, qualityless. Bliss has no characteristics whatsoever. This is known as Jivan Mukti. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Samadhi means controlling one's own energy. When the energy in man is controlled and led to the Sahasrara in the brain, a man attains the supreme bliss of Samadhi. Samadhi can only be attained by the upward course of prana. What is Taraka Brahma is the upward course of the prana. When prana has attained the supreme, the whole world will be within us. We will develop in us that energy which governs the universe. Prana is the same in all creatures. The difference is only in forms, not in spirit. He is a Raja Yogi who has attained the supreme. Whether while talking or sitting or walking, such a man will be always in communion with God. Raja Yoga is like sitting in the upper story of a building and looking out and all around. When Raja Yoga is attained, mind occupies an exalted position in the brain. Mind will then be an ocean of bliss. Raja Yoga is so called because it is the king of all yogas. When buddhi, or intelligence, and jnana, or knowledge, become one by the realization of God, Raja Yoga has been attained. Raja Yoga is perfect peace. It is formless, qualityless. The supreme bliss is attained when the Raja Yoga is realized. And bliss has no characteristics whatsoever. Bliss is formless. Jivanmukti is attained when perfect peace and perfect bliss are enjoyed. Now, kindly allow this Swami to define and translate Jivanmukti. Mukti means freedom, or salvation, or liberation. There are two types of mukti: videha mukti, which is attained at death by those who have practiced properly and have the grace of God. Jivan mukti is much more rare and is attained in the body, while embodied. So it is carried around with you, within you, and radiating from you. One in the guru or swami position, generally, well, the guru must be a jivanmukti, and swamis generally through their course of training and service to God, guru, and self through the forms and minds of the apparent others, then becomes jivanmukti. Verse 214. Nityananda said, "Creation disappears in primordial nature. Coming out from this primordial is called creation. Entering into it again is called destruction. When you are conscious of the body and of nothing else, that is creation. For Raja Yoga, there is no particular action prescribed. There is no Shiva worship. There is no particular place. All this takes place to a Raja Yogi in the brain center, the Chittakasha, the heart space within the head. Salutation takes place in the brain center. If one salutes in the brain center, He reaches all. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Creation disappears in the primordial nature, Prakriti. What is Prakriti is the supreme energy in action of the Godhead. God is he who is at perfect in action, coming out or evolving from the primordial nature is what is called creation. Entering into it again or involving is called destruction or laya. When one is conscious of the body and nothing else, it is called creation. When the Atman is merged in the Para-Atman, it is called destruction. In Raja Yoga, there is no particular mode of worship prescribed. No particular actions are prescribed for Raja Yogis. No particular place is prescribed in Raja Yoga. Raja Yoga is above formalities. There is no Shiva worship. All these take place in the head. Salutations to God take place in the brain center in a Raja Yogi. And the salutations done in the brain center reaches all. Such salutations are universal in nature. Verse 215, Nityananda said, Brahmahood means realization of oneness within oneself. Pindananda, or microcosm, is that which is visible outside. Brahmanda, macrocosm, is seen inwards only. This macrocosm is beyond creation. Creation is a mental condition. Atma is uncreated. Mind has fears of all sorts. All creation appears to exist only to the embodied. When the external becomes internalized, there is an end to all fear. If you have gold ornaments on your body, you have fear of thieves. Those who have not such ornaments have no cause for that sorrow. They have one-sightedness. Desire is in those who see with the physical eyes. They see differences. Desire causes a man to work. Desirelessness is mukti. Desirelessness for fruit is jivan mukti. This is the state of an avaduta. This state is a subtle one. Jnanis have the internal sight. They have annihilated the manas. They experience one spirit everywhere. They have no idea of differences. They have realized the one, indivisible. In the gross state, there are the differences. The internal breath is not divisible. It is indivisible. It is one. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Brahmahood means realization of oneness within oneself. Brahma is seen everywhere and in everything. The whole universe is too full of Brahma. Creation is his manifestation. Pindanda, or the microcosm, is that which is visible on the outside. All that is visible to the physical eyes is Pindanda. What is Brahmanda, or the macrocosm, is seen only inwards. It is visible only to the subtle I. Brahmanda, or the macrocosm, is beyond creation. It is uncreated. Creation is a mental affection. If the manas is annihilated, the creation ceases to exist. Atma is uncreated. Atma is the creator of itself. Mind has fears of all sorts. When mind is destroyed, fear vanishes. All creation appears to exist only to the embodied. When the external is internalized, there is an end to all fear. When Atman realizes Paramatman, fear ceases. Paramatman means beyond and including Atman. Samadhi, or absorption, is fearlessness. If you wear gold ornaments on the body, you'll have to have the fear of thieves. Those who have no such ornaments have no cause for sorrow. Similarly, when one sees the Brahman everywhere in the universe, one has no reason for fear. One Brahma need not be in dread of another Brahma. Such people have the one-sightedness. Everything is the one to such people. Desire is in those who see only with the physical eye. Such men and women see differences. Desire causes us to work. We work in this world in order to attain that which is near and dear to the heart. When one is perfectly desireless, he will be perfectly inactive. Perfect desirelessness is what is called mukti, or freedom, salvation, liberation. Desirelessness for fruit while living is jivan mukti, liberation from bondage within this very life. This is the state of an avaduta. This state is a subtle one. It can only be felt, not expressed. Jnanis have the internal sight. Jnanis have annihilated the manas, or the individual mind, focused outward. Hence, jnanis experience the one spirit everywhere. Jnanis see God in his creation and the creation in him. Jnanis have no idea of differences any longer. Jnanis have realized the one, indivisible, God, Shiva, Brahman. In the gross state, one sees that there are differences. In the subtle, all is only the one. Prana, the internal breath, is the one, indivisible. Prana is the same in all creatures. Sonic, let's do the bottom of the hour break song, and we'll be back with verse 216 of the Chittakosha Gita right here on Meditative Living.
Shiva, 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 Shi
Welcome back to Meditative Living with Swami Shivananda Giri. Let us continue with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri, India, one of the great masters in this Swami's lineage and the lineage of many, many, many others. The Swami does not know the exact number, and it's a large one, of the traditions spawned from the knowledge of Bhagwan Nityananda. So let us continue, and we ask that the blessings of Bhagwan be with us while we meditate, concentrate, and resonate that one without a second even possible. Verse 216, Nityananda said, "The idea of grossness, or the physical, material world, is all mental. The subtle state is atmic. Gyanis enjoy always yoga nidra. They are in this state whether they are sitting or walking. Gyanis may be compared to a tortoise. These animals project their limbs outside only when necessary. At all other times, they keep themselves inside their shell." Acharya Kedar's commentary. The mind immersed in worldly affairs is a gross sense in man. Hence, the idea of grossness, or material, or matter, or physical, is all mental. The subtle state is atmic. Atman is visible only to the subtle state. It cannot be seen in the physical state. Gyanis are those who are always in yoga nidra, which means yoga sleep. This does not refer to the sleep we have at night. It means union without separate activity. Yoga nidra is the state of samadhi, which means absorption, i.e. the state of fearlessness. Gyanis are always in samadhi, whether they are sitting or walking or doing any other bodily function. They remain in samadhi 24/7, 365 days per year, decades at a time, once they have reached jivanmukti, or liberation. Gyanis are much like a tortoise. The tortoise projects its limbs only when it has some need to, and keeps itself in the shell at other times. So also, the Gyani is always in communion with God, coming out of this supreme state only when it is absolutely necessary. At all other times, Gyanis are one with the Godhead. Now you'll notice, allow this Swami to make a point here, you will notice that all commentary by both Acharya Kedar, by the blessed Bhagwan Nityananda, and this humble and lovable Swami, says we become one with God, not that we become God. We do not take over Godhood and push it out into our individuated unit of consciousness, because the individuated unit dissolves within God. And that which is divine radiates out through the yogi, the guru, the swami, the saint, the pandit. Many, many terms apply to those freed ones who no longer see the world the same as you are seeing it now. Of course, their physical eyes perceive the very same things, but with the subtle vision, they perceive much, much more. Verse 217, Nityananda said, to the mail train and to the local train, the energy is exactly the same. Only time differs. The sannyasi, or the swami, is like the mail train. Sannyasi is the one who sees the whole external world within himself. One who concentrates his power in the external world is like the local train. It is difficult to get into the train. After getting into the train, there is no difficulty. One does not then think of language. When we purchase a thing, sitting in the train, our attention is directed towards the train. So also, the first is discrimination. The second is the sound. Whatever one may be doing, the attention should be fixed in the head. Seeing, hearing, talking are not actions in and of themselves. Breathing through the nose is an action in reality. What is called good action is actually the downward path. Acharya Kedar's commentary. All men will realize the Atman, but not at the same time. To the mail train, which is the fast one, and to the local train, which is always crowded and runs much slower, the energy to it is exactly the same. Only the amount of time required to get from one station to the next differs. Similarly, all men will realize the Supreme at one time or the other, in one body or the other, or at the end of one body, if they become videha mukti rather than jivan mukti. The difference is only in time spent. Prana is the same in all creatures. A sannyasi is like the mail train A sannyasi is one who reaches his destination, the Godhead, in this very life. To a sannyasi, the whole of the external world is within himself as he perceives that, with a capital T. He has developed, or she, within themselves that supreme power which governs the entire universe and all other universes. One who concentrates power in the external world is crowded, busy, disturbed, like the local train. Such a one reaches the goal of life late. It is difficult to get on the train. After getting on the train, there is no more difficulty. One does not then think of the luggage. In the same manner, it is difficult to concentrate the mind on the Atman. Once this is done, worldly affairs will no longer have any fascination for us. When we purchase a thing sitting in a train, our attention is fixed on the train or the thing purchased. We are on the lookout to know when the train starts, lest our bargain should be incomplete. Similarly, our first attention should be fixed on discrimination. Our second thoughts should be on sound and all that we hear and see. Whatever one may be doing, one's attention must be always concentrated in that Brahmarandra, that God space within the brain. Seeing, hearing, talking are not actions in and of themselves. They depend on breathing, don't they? If breathing ceases, all functions of the senses come to a stop. Hence, breathing through the nose is the only real action. Actions can be bondage. Good actions are bondage just as much as evil actions. Breathing is the only real action, which is not bound by anything. You may breathe as fast or as slow as is necessary. Regardless how one breathes, the matter is only that one breathes. The prana is the same in all, just as the energy is the same in both the local train and the speedy mail train. Verse 218. Nityananda said, "What is called silence refers to the mind, not to the tongue. What is done when buddhi and jnana are communioned with the Atman is not karma. Silence is the real locality of the mind when properly used, not silence of the tongue. It is by silence that yoga becomes accomplished. One is a yogi who has united into one, both buddhi, or intellect, and jnana, or mind, or knowledge, excuse me. One who subjects the manas, the mind, to the intelligence, the buddhi, makes buddhi control manas. Then that one is a yogi. What is called the vow of silence is another name for the sushumna, the central channel in the spine, which is the junction of the ida and the pingala, the three important nerves of the body are the ida, the pingala, and the sushumna, Sushumna is the home of the Kundalini. Acharya Kedar's commentary. What is silence? Refers only to the mind and the thought processes, not to the tongue. It is not silence if we merely keep our mouth tight without uttering a single word. Silence, to be real, must be mental silence. The mind should be at perfect peace and at a standstill. Mind should not wander. Mind should not function. All thoughts should be banished from the mind. This is what is done when buddhi, or the intelligence, and jnana, or knowledge, are in communion with the Atman. Then there is not karma. Such actions transcend the laws of karma. Karma is that which is earthly, which involves materialistic endeavors. When buddhi unites with jnana, a man becomes one with the Creator. All that is done when a man is in this supreme state is purely divine and not earthly. Hence, it is not karma. Silence is the real locality of the mind, not of the tongue. True silence can be observed when the mind is in its own place in the head. When the mind is in its own place in the head and not in a lower place, as in all common men, mind is devoid of all thought. In such a state, mind enjoys the supreme peace. In such a state, mind is capable of maintaining perfect silence. In yoga, everything is accomplished by this very silence. We waste our energy in talking, thus giving much work to the tongue and to the breath in us. When this energy is harnessed and directed in the direction of God realization, we can accomplish our goal in an incredibly short time. One is a yogi who has united into one both the intellect and the knowledge. One who subjects the mind to the intelligence and makes the intelligence control the mind is a yogi. Such men and women will be infallible in their actions. We can maintain silence in its pure form only when the mind in us is concentrated in the Brahmadaya between the eyebrows. Brahmadaya is the seat of the junction of the Ida, the Pingala, and the Sushumna. Silence can only be maintained when our attention is in the Sushumna. Sushumna is the home of Kundalini within a man or a woman. The three most important nerves of the body are the Ida, the Pingala, and the Sushumna. Verse 219, Nityananda said, all tattvas have one root tattva. By the way, tattva refers to conditions, parts, levels, that sort of thing. Again, all tattvas have one root tattva, called Parabrahma. When this is realized, one is called Jivanmukti. You must see the river at its source, not after it merges into the sea. You should see the mother root of a tree all trees have one mother root. So also, all have one and only one God. When you have realized all as one homogeneous, this realization is living mukti. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Parabrahma is the origin of all tattvas. When this is realized, one is called Jivan Mukti. They have attained liberation from bondage in this very life. We originate from Parabrahma. We must realize Parabrahma again, and thus know the source of our being. We must see the river at its source, and not after it merges into the sea and is no longer a river at all. We must see the mother root of a tree if we are to know it well. So also, we must become one with Parabrahma again. This Parabrahma, who is the source of all creation. God is the one to all. Similarly, the mother root is the one to all trees, each with their own. When we experience that all is the manifestation of that supreme, we have realized mukti, which is liberation from bondage. Next week, we will not continue at verse 220. No. We will be joined by the man who it was this Swami's great pleasure to begin the training of in the ways of Mahadeva Mahayogi on behalf of the Satguru. Young Brandon went on to go directly from this Swami's training to the feet of the Guru. And after some time there, a lot of work, a lot of study, a lot of satsang, which means communing with the truth, he then became Swami Anantananda Giri. And he will be joining us right here with this Swami, Shivananda Giri, and Sonic, and we will have interesting conversation about Swami-ish things, and also about the book of our Guru, the authoritative Guru Gita, which is the only full Guru Gita translated into English. This is a newly completed project, and as said, the only full Guru Gita version out of Sanskrit into English, freshly translated by another disciple of our Guru named Acharya Padma Najendra. So, until next week. Sadgurunath Maharaj Vijay, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Guru Om, Shivoham. Namaste and blessings.